Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Hey.
We're back.
We got a lot to go through today.
Wait, we do. But I also wanted to call out that we had a lot of responses to last week's episode.
Yes, and they're still coming in.
Yes, this daddy-mommy conversation has taken on a life of its own.
Yes.
And I feel like the responses are split. I'm getting messages from people that are Italian and do live in Jersey and say, yes, I still call my parents mommy and daddy, so what? And then the other half that say, well, I'm from Jersey, I'm not Italian, and that's really weird.
Right. I mean, most of the research, I think, has shown that it is it is kind of like a Jersey thing, and it does tie into family. But there was someone else who was saying that, like, her husband's Jewish and he does it with his parents, you know? So maybe it just depends on your family and, like, just how you're raised and what they call their parents. Who knows?
Well, all of that said, does it change your stance?
No.
So, perfect person, but they call their mom mommy and their dad daddy. You're like, no.
I'm like, can you find something else? Mommy or papi, you know, like, do something with a little flair.
Right.
It sounds so strange to me still. But okay. I appreciate everyone's feedback. So thank you all for sliding into our DMs and tweeting at us. And I mean, it was everywhere. So thank you for your sharing your stories.
Well, this week we want to talk about The Real Housewives of Orange County reunion part 3. This is it. This is all we have for Orange County this year. I can't believe it's over. Then we have the second episode of Vanderpump Rules. Plus, we have to talk about that very intense episode of Below Deck.
Whew.
And we have interviews with Kate and Josiah. They're going to help shed some light on those really dramatic moments. And then we'll be talking to Stassi, oh, and her boyfriend, Bo. He dropped by.
And as always, Rose and Thorn.
Of course. All right, let's get into it.
Okay, let's talk Orange County first, because I feel like there was a lot that came out in last night's episode. And I feel like it finally sort of got Tamara and Shannon to say exactly what was going on between them. So I feel like we finally got to the root of their issue, and it really kind of just came down to, yes, Shannon had a really tough year. Yes, Shannon was going through a divorce. Yes, she leaned a lot on Tamara for that kind of support, and that is what you're supposed to do with your friends. But Tamara also needed Shannon, and she wasn't getting the friendship. There wasn't the reciprocation there. And I think that's what set Tamara off and really caused her to get so upset with Shannon. Like, everything Eddie went through with his heart condition, and, you know, Shannon was very wrapped up in her own life and didn't really take a moment to ask Tamara, like, wait, how are you doing? How's Eddie?
Right. And I mean, I think, because they did discuss this at that flower shop when Tamara finally said to Shannon, I feel like midway through the season, hey, I need you to be a little more invested in what's happening with me. But maybe part of it is, when you know someone's going through something, you stop offloading so much of your own things onto them. Shannon could have taken that cue and really reeled back the talk about what was happening in her life.
Right.
I don't know. I thought it was sweet, though, that Tamara said, I'm not saying I don't want the 100 calls a day, because I haven't gotten any this week and I'm really missing them.
Yeah, that was really sweet. I mean, it just goes to show that they do really care about each other, and it just came down to just them not being able to communicate, and their relationship went off balance. Like, it was too much about Shannon. And I feel like with, you know, the eruptions that happened in Jamaica and throughout the season when it came down to Shannon, I think Tamara said it kind of perfectly, and then Shannon kind of had a realization in the episode about Shannon took so many things so personally, I think, because of the way David treated her in those 17 years. She said, I was told I was an alcoholic. I was told I was selfish. I was told all of these things. So I think when that came up with the women in Jamaica and then Tamara saying it, you know, and then medication and her mental health came into question, I think it really just sent Shannon all the way back to the 17 years she went through with David, when she's right now trying to get past that. So I really think it just kind of triggered her.
You can't handle your life. Look at you. You're a mess.
I think anxiety medication.
You need help.
Is that something David said to you?
All the time.
Okay.
Okay. So it was a little bit of a flashback or a hot.
And I'm not trying to make excuses. You just f***ing hit a nerve in me right now.
A nerve?
It's just that.
You don't want to be told that.
That's what he said all the time.
No, it gave me chills because the way you said it, it's like it had been said to you multiple times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So maybe that's why.
So we hit a nerve.
That's why you were reacting though.
Yeah.
I know. And they call it a breakthrough in therapy when you have this big aha moment. And I felt like Shannon and Tamara had their breakthrough where they both at the same time realized, oh, this is what really set Shannon off.
Absolutely. You could feel it. I mean, it definitely, I was watching it with Danny and we were both like, oh, wow. Like we feel a sense of relief too, because it was just like they all kind of had this moment where they realized exactly what went wrong and where it went wrong. And I think they are, you know, hopefully able to move forward from that. And even at the end when they went around and Andy kind of did the like, what was one thing that you would do differently? I feel like everyone said something very important that they would change. And I think that goes to show how strong their friendships really are and how they can move on from this kind of situation. But I guess we'll have to see.
Well, since it is the end of the season, I want to ask you, if Real Housewives of Orange County comes back, who do you want to see return with it?
Absolutely, Kelly Dodd. She was my favorite this season. I really love Gina. I think she brings a really good energy to the show. I mean, she's much younger than everybody, but I feel like just her personality being from New York, she's a little bit different than everyone we've seen on OC for a while. So I would like to see her come back as well. But definitely Kelly, definitely Gina. The OGs, I'm like, who can we go on without? We can't go on without any of, like, we need Vicky back. She's the OG.
I really do think we need to keep the entire group as is. Because I saw some feedback on the Daily Dish Facebook group. People thought the reunion was the Gina show and they're like, too much Gina. I really love the addition of her and Emily. I think it's a new kind of energy and we need these people with younger kids coming in and I don't know.
I agree. And I like Gina. Gina also was really good about inserting herself kind of where she felt it was appropriate. Like they kept calling her a pot stirrer and kept saying, you know, especially with the whole like mental health conversation and like Shannon between Tamara. But I think, you know, Gina was always coming from a place of she was trying to defend Tamara because of like the way Shannon was reacting to her. So I feel like she is an important perspective to have in the show. And I do agree with Emily, too. I think she comes from an interesting background and has been telling an interesting story when you hear everything that she's been through with her mother. And, you know, I think she does bring a lot to the show as well. Let's bring Emily back. Let's bring Gina back. I'm fine with that.
Okay, done.
I do have to say, too, it was really funny. I liked when Andy kind of called Emily out for being like, you're saying disproportionate over here, but you threatened to kill Kelly Dodd.
Who cares, Kelly? Who cares? How about that for
so speaking
betrayal?
Of disproportionate,
an eye for an eye, tooth for a
tooth. Hold on. Speaking of disproportionate, you then say, I'm going to f***ing kill you.
Yeah, I did.
More than once. Okay.
And then Shannon being like, several times.
We also have to give props to Kelly for the snap shout out.
It's only a threat if the other person reasonably thinks they're actually going to kill them.
And you had to be restrained.
I'm not talking to you.
Ooh.
I am not shaking.
Get your finger in your mouth.
Did you,
girl? Wow. Honestly.
Did you think that she was going to try to kill you?
I watched Snapped. I watched Snapped.
Oh my gosh.
I watched Criminal ID. I watched Wise with Knives.
No, you didn't.
You don't know what people do.
Oxygen is our sister company.
Oh, yes.
And she was like, I watched Snapped. Of course I thought she was going to really kill me. I've seen that show.
That was so funny. I love that part.
I love Kelly. Please
I've seen Wives
me.
With Knives.
Right. Wives with Knives I've not seen, but...
But now I want to.
I do
think one thing I would like to see different next season is Gina does come back, but Matt quits his job so he can be on the show.
Oh, that would be interesting.
I think we need that other half of the puzzle. Even though they're probably going to get divorced, I still want to be able to see him and understand that relationship.
Maybe given how well she has been received, his company will reconsider their restriction on him. So maybe he doesn't have to lose his job, because that is the whole reason they're in Orange County. So we're grateful for it, but we need Matt on our TV screens, please.
Did you cross yourself?
Did I?
You go, we are thankful for
we
it.
We are thankful. I'm very religious today.
It's been 10 years since Bernie Madoff shocked the world with his $65 billion scam. I'm Scott Cohn.
I'm Chuck Schaefer. The story's not over yet.
In a special CNBC podcast series, we're going behind bars, including my conversation with Madoff himself.
We catch up with investigators and Madoff victims.
And we ask, can it happen again?
Subscribe today to the American Greed podcast.
I want to move on to Vanderpump Rules. Okay, second episode. Wasn't sure, like, will, you know, you see the first episode, you've waited so long, will the second episode live up? And yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Because we had Miami Girl 2.0 this season, which is Kristen Doty back in detective mode and says, hey, my friend slept with James while he was dating Raquel, and I've brought Hope here to confront her.
She told me at Coachella, Raquel, James, and Hope are all in the same house.
Raquel went to bed because she can never hang. James can't sleep, and we still hook up right there when she's asleep in the house.
Raquel's just like sleeping, and they're just like right there?
Literally, right there.
She's a girl with a mission.
I mean... She wants everyone to see the proof. And I think that what really made the moment shine was Kristen hopping over a fence with Hope so that she didn't have to walk into the doors of Sir where James would see them. They right. had to sneak in the back. It's just like, yes.
Do you think her obsession is going too far? Do you think it's like... Is she doing it for the right reasons is really, I think, what I'm trying to ask.
No, I don't. I
Fair.
Think Kristen is just, when it comes to men who are allegedly lying, allegedly cheating, I think she's like a dog with a bone. And it doesn't so much matter. But also, I don't know. I relate to Kristen in some ways because I also think she just... isn't going to be happy for any of her ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't all have to move on and be best friends. Some of us want the worst for them.
But do you have to act upon that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, fair.
Lest we forget, James spit on her door.
This is true. And that, not to say that he doesn't necessarily deserve this kind of treatment.
Right.
Because I think, like, especially in this episode, he really does... show his true colors so often. And I don't blame Kristen for being like, I need the world to see this. Like, I need to keep proving to people, especially to even Raquel, like, girl, you're gonna get hurt here.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe Kristen is doing it for her own reasons, but she is also trying to help this girl see James for what she sees him as.
So the allegation is that during Coachella, Hope was visiting James and Raquel. They were all staying in the same house. Raquel went to bed early, and James and Hope had sex in the next room, mm-hmm. which we haven't seen this from James that I know of, but we do know that next door cheating happens.
Yeah, well.
Kristen and Jax hooked up while Sandoval was sleeping in the next room.
This is true.
So this isn't impossible. This isn't out of the realm of normal. But do we believe it?
Genuinely, I do. I just feel like it just seems so fitting. You know, when they were like, well, it happened at Coachella. I was like, of course it did. You know, James, of course he was there. Of course that would unfold. You know, and it's also like, what does Hope have to gain by making that up? Like, what would she gain by that?
Screen time?
I guess that's true.
I mean, it is a possibility. We do have to consider that in the world of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, when I interviewed Jax, when I interviewed Brittany Cartwright, that interview will be coming out later, and Stassi, as you'll see, they all say that they 100% believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they would know better than I.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That said, we haven't talked to James yet.
That is true. And I think there is, he said something in the episode too about like, well, they're lying. Like, what else do I have to do to prove it? And there is unfortunately nothing James can do to really prove that it did or didn't happen. It's he said, she said at this
right.
point. Maybe Raquel can get a hold of his phone and there's some information in there. I don't know. But there's really not a lot to believe from James at this point. And I feel like if everyone else is saying that this went down, it's hard to not believe that.
I will say the other thing that sort of is against him is how aggressive he got toward the end of the episode. And really, this is just... James really splits into a different personality when he's been drinking, I've noticed. I mean, it gets very volatile towards the others. And I think we best saw it at outside of Sir when he goes after Katie.
Yeah.
Not very flattering.
She shouldn't be wearing those shorts. They're not very flattering.
What? Who is this?
I hated that. I hated that because moments before in the episode, Katie was talking about feeling body positive. And she was saying, like, I know that I don't look like the other girls here, but I'm going to wear this outfit. It's gay pride. I don't care. And then here comes James to just rain all over everybody's parade. And the thing about him, too, is, like, there is something, and maybe this is just me, that can be charming about him. It's the accent. It's the boyish looks. There's moments when he'll say something that's cheeky or funny, and you're like, oh, he's not so bad. And then 5 seconds later, he goes and proves you wrong.
It's just weird because it's, like, earlier in the episode, he's making salmon and asparagus and mashed potatoes for Ariana and Sandoval. And then it goes to him flicking his cigarette at Kristen while calling Katie fat. It just...
Right.
I don't understand. Do you think alcohol brings out someone's true self? Or do you think it sometimes brings out a monster?
I think it brings out things that you're not properly expressing in healthy ways. And I think maybe James was feeling attacked. He was decided to act out. He felt the need to act out in that moment. And it was fueled by the liquor. But if you're repressing those things, then you are really, that is who you are deep down, because you're holding these things in that you could be saying in other ways, and he's not doing it the right way.
And even though I did not like the message, the way he said, not very flattering, I kept playing it 5 times, because why does he get more cockney when he's been drinking?
I mean, here's the thing. I will say I'm from, like, the Boston area, and if I've had one too many, my accent starts to come out. Like, all it takes is a phone call from my mom or a few too many, you know, Guinness pints, and all of a sudden I'm, like, sounding like a Boston.
What, do you start Boston calling her Ma?
Yeah, and I'll just, like, ka, you know, like, things will just, like, the R's will fall off the ends of words sometimes. So I think it's just, like, you get a little liquored up, and you just, like, get a little looser with your conversation, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you and I both loved the editing on this episode. Yes. First of all, with the engagement party, the surprise engagement party, where they sort of freeze it and then Stassi explains how it all happened.
Right.
But then the 80s gay pride party.
Absolutely.
So funny.
I mean, I honestly think that there should be a segment of every episode that has a laugh track. It just felt so appropriate.
I loved it.
So the holidays are coming up. Have you done any of your shopping yet?
I'm going to tell you, I'm having the hardest time shopping for my dad because it is going to be impossible to top last year's gift. I got him Storyworth.
Oh.
So Storyworth is the subscription that you can buy for someone that you love. And each week they are emailed a question or a prompt that leads them to sort of answer with an anecdote or a story that you then receive the answer to. Things like, did you ever break any bones as a child? Or what sports were you involved in as a kid? All of these different questions that I've never really thought to ask my dad. And each week I would get these answers and a different story that I hadn't heard. And at the end of the year, they put it all together into this beautiful bound book of memories.
That's beautiful.
How it works is you purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week Storyworth sends them an email with a question about their life. They simply reply to this email with their story or can record it over the phone by calling the Storyworth number. I found that it's a especially great gift if it's for someone that maybe lives out of town. So my dad's in Texas. I definitely don't talk to him as much as I would like to. And this was a great way for us to sort of keep in communication every week and learn something new.
So did you learn anything about your dad that you hadn't known before?
I think I knew that my dad had broken his nose, but I didn't know how, and that it was running into my grandfather and breaking my grandfather's ribs. So it was definitely a story I had never heard before. So for $20 off your StoryWorth, visit StoryWorth.com/DailyDish. All right, should we talk about Below Deck?
Yes, let's talk about Below Deck, because this has been a while coming for us, I think.
Yes. We kept thinking we were going to watch The Moment, right? And then we kept getting the next on. We finally got The Moment, and it was crazier than I expected.
Absolutely. I mean, Brent, the cameraman, thank goodness for you. You are a hero.
Truly.
Yeah.
That has to feel really good to save someone's life.
Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine, like, knowing that you were responsible for, like, him surviving that really scary incident?
Have you ever saved someone's life?
No.
Me neither. We need to work on that.
Maybe I haven't. I just don't know about it. Like, through a series of events, I did
Butterfly
something.
Effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I'm a hero. I don't know.
But yeah, it happened a lot quicker than I thought it would, watching that moment and how quickly, just because Ashton stepped on the rope and it's like he's in, and then it's like, wait, what's happening? And then you see the camera go down, and I don't know. It's just, it was a lot.
Okay, watch the other arms. Watch the other arms carefully. Hold on.
Man overboard.
Man overboard.
Man overboard.
What?
What happened?
He's one of the crew.
What?
Holy sh!
Take it off! Take it off now!
Give me a status report now.
Stand by.
Oh! We're out of gear.
Get the life ring! Get the life ring!
Jesus Christ!
Somebody's gonna have to go in and get him.
I need a status report immediately.
Take it off! Take it off! Let it go!
Just slacking it out.
Go in! He's driving!
Get me in!
Jesus Christ!
Hey, are you okay?
Captain Ashton's in the water.
Get his ass out of the water and on board.
Oh my God, that was so scary.
I was flustered at first because I don't think I quite understood what was going on. And you could tell the way everyone reacted that it was serious, you know? And like when Captain Lee was talking about it in his confessional, like I was tearing up just as much as he was just hearing him talk about it from the perspective of being a parent. He was like, I would have had to make that phone call.
I have kids. And I don't know how I'd make that call. I need a minute.
To tell his parents that, you know, and he just like got so emotional and like had to walk off camera. And I was like, oh my God. But I really, you know, it, like you said, it happened so fast. I didn't really understand what happened until later on. They started explaining like just how serious it was. Like he was, you know, the rope was wrapped around his leg and it got taut and he could have ripped his leg off. Like if that cameraman hadn't like untied that rope, if Brent hadn't done that, it would have been the end.
One thing I thought was interesting watching this moment is Riley being very composed, I thought, when she picked up the radio and said man overboard right away. But then to hear Captain Lee during the postmortem at the end of the episode and saying, nah, you really should have made it a bigger deal. You should have repeated it and loudly so that everyone knew the severity of the situation.
What we're about to watch is very sobering.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that postmortem moment, I think, was really important for us to see as viewers, because I feel like the moment happens in the beginning of the episode, it's really intense, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, everything's fine. Here's Chef Adrian making some food for these guests who hate chicken, and, you know, all of a sudden it's like, it doesn't seem as serious anymore, and then Captain Lee gives it some time, gives everyone some time to sort of regroup, and then presents them with the footage and kind of recaps, like, here's what we could have done better, and here's, like, what we all need to take a little bit more seriously.
Getting ready to release the tender.
Man overboard.
That's you. Right there. Underwater. That's Riley. That's when you made one call and you said man overboard. Barely audible. We'll move forward a little bit.
Let go.
Now we're dragging you by your foot. At that point, somebody should have said it minimum of three times, man overboard, man overboard, man overboard. Because I'm still going forward at this point in time. You got a boat that's 500 tons rolling forward, another boat that's 2.5 tons sitting back there. As soon as that tender draws tight, it's going to sever his foot. And he's going to bleed out. and I'm calling his parents and telling him their son is dead.
And I really, that really drilled it home for me how serious the moment was and how scary it must have been for him as the one who at the end of the day is responsible for all of these people. So, you know, Riley, I think she did what she thought was the right thing, man overboard, you know, like it's out there. And then the cameraman, it all probably happened so fast, you know, but now moving forward, they all know how to be a lot more careful about where they're standing on the deck and what to do if that happens again in the future. So it was, you know, really intense. And you know, I think it was a learning experience for everybody, including Captain Lee.
Yeah. You know, I really wanted Kate and Josiah to talk about this moment because they were there firsthand, but also are able to explain how, even though you're trained for these moments, they never happen, and how this was such a shock for everyone. So here's that interview. So I am here with Kate and Josiah. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
Great.
So you two are boat besties now.
Right.
Yeah.
But also roommates on this small yacht. Is that normal? Because I would think it would go the opposite way.
Like you would hate your roommate?
Yeah, like you'd be too much in each other's faces all the time.
No, because we're working so much. I'm hardly ever even in my cabin.
Yeah. And we're normally in our cabin separately when we're working because you go down to get changed and I go down to get changed. The only time we're in the cabin together is when we're sleeping.
Yeah.
Mm. And you can't really get annoyed at someone when you're sleeping, so that's fine.
But you have to have a simpatico relationship with your roommate because in the morning when you're getting ready, it's like a little dance.
There's a little morning routine, yeah.
You go in the bathroom, I'll be out here opening the drawer. Oh, now you're opening that door, so I have to close this door so you can open the bathroom door and you can get out and I'm going to scoot in. Yeah.
Yeah. They're small cabins, but we made it work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like you guys are good snacking buddies. I feel like we see you snack a few times this season.
It's more like a time thing. Like Cheetos were just really convenient. We have a private chef, amazing chef, cooking all these meals. But then
we normally don't have time to eat like a sit down lunch or dinner or breakfast. Right. So
and
like
by the time it's like Cheetos it's and champagne cold. Is yeah.
It's like
and if you do the dishes, if you eat something, and you know, so Cheetos is just like easy.
Yeah.
Well, I watched ahead, and I know that we get to meet Laura soon.
Laura tells you what she's thinking, and she means it. Yeah. You know, almost to a fault sometimes.
Laura's very, like, you kind of know what you get with her, and she's very straight, which I so much prefer.
Yeah.
But she does say literally everything on her mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much of a filter.
No, she's enthusiastic for sure. She's not boring.
No.
I feel like all season fans were waiting for the moment when Captain Lee would have enough with Chandler. And we were kind of expecting that he would get fired. You had a front row seat. Did you feel it was anticlimactic at all? They both seemed so okay with it at the end.
Yeah, no, I was relieved. It was so awkward. It was just really awkward. I didn't know where to look. It was like Captain Lee was breaking up with somebody, which he handled it really well. Like, I want to like record what he said, like keep that on file because he like handled it real gracefully, handled all the bases.
But, yeah, that's like, you know, have you ever seen the Friends episode where like Phoebe's really good at breaking up with people?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
I think that's what like Captain Lee's like. Have you not seen it? Like she's like, oh, like one of, I can't remember who it is, but like Joey, I think, is like trying to break up with someone and he doesn't know. So like Phoebe goes in and like breaks up and she comes out and she's like, I love all of you.
Yeah, they all always end up hugging her and like she does it in such a great way. But it was just like Captain Lee.
Right. Like that. But Chandler is hard to read, period. So what, did he look relieved? I don't know. He just kind of always has the same blank look. I was like, is he excited? Is he relieved? Is he angry? Is he what? You don't know. He's got a poker face.
Right. The thing that has left me the most puzzled this season are the inter-yachty hookups we've been seeing. If for no other reason than when I don't like someone at work, I hate them in all aspects of life.
Yeah, Megan, get it.
I can't imagine someone being like a little bit rude to me and then me being like, let's maybe make out a little.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, I'm a little confused too now that you mentioned it because one day they're like, I hate you.
Yes.
And then the next day they're making out. I'm like, cabin fever's real. That's what I have to say about that. Like,
yeah, we're basically like trapping eight people. It's a big yacht, but where we're living is not very big at all. And you get to learn, like, you know, you get to learn to like know people very, very, very quickly. And
you get bored. You've got needs.
Are we talking about Chef Ben?
Oh, no, he was really funny. And we never hooked up on the yacht.
Right. But I do feel like, how does that conflict, is it, because you said something like the first sign of love is hate or something.
Well, a lot of people say the first, like, you know, when like, you're in high school and like you really fancy that girl and you're like, oh, I hate you, because you want them to like come closer to you.
Like, I had a crush on somebody. You know? Like, so of course I saw him out a couple weeks ago, so I was rude to him.
But it's the only way to speak to them, isn't it?
No, you like somebody. So I rolled my eyes. Then when he did come over to talk, I like acted too busy and uninterested.
Yeah.
And then I left and I made sure that he thinks I might hate him because I like him.
Right. So that's what it is. It's all just sexual tension this season we're seeing.
I don't know, but I think it's alcohol. I think it's cabin fever. I think it's,
a bit of everything.
I want you guys to tell me about this Ashton moment. Tell me what it was like to be on the boat that day.
It's the craziest thing that's ever happened in my yachting career. I've never heard of anything like this. Read about it in a yachting magazine. You know, it's just, it's a worst case scenario situation.
It's the type of thing you train for, but you don't want to.
You never want to use it.
And it's like, I don't know.
You never think it's actually going
to
happen.
You never think it's... Well, because it never normally... I've never had that happen to me before.
No. I
don't know anyone that's ever had that happen to them before. And you hear of like these stories and you're like, they're probably made up, but like you don't actually think it ever happens. But yeah, before you ever work on a yacht, you do all of this training about like all the emergency procedures, like the safety and all of that stuff. And you basically learn that to never use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird when you kind of I've only ever had to once, which is then.
Yeah, same with when we had a fire on one of the boats. I was like, I mean, I'm firefight trained, but we never have fires, so I'm a little rusty. Yeah, I think it was a good reminder that our job is not only like stressful and has high standards because of the wealth of our guests, but it's also a dangerous job.
If
you're not experienced or on top of your job or you're
well rested, because when you're tired you kind of
it proves that slip the rules on
especially
are
on
reason.
Deck especially on deck with things like that is
yeah
like when you're like overworked and you're very tired and it's like I think Ross said it in one of the episodes, he said
if we don't get our rest
then we're going to be overworked and we're going to be tired and we're going to make mistakes and that kind of
and a mistake on a yacht could be dangerous more so than a mistake at an office.
Yeah.
Well, the other component to all of that that makes me curious is the camera crew. How did they respond?
You know, our show is, people say, is that real? I'm like, it's so real. The production crew keeps very fourth wall. They don't talk to us. They don't affect our daily actions at all.
No.
They're very strict about that. So I think that in this situation, they kept that fourth wall as long as they could, but then there comes a point where you're like, well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we sort of saw that really on The Real Housewives of New York.
Yes.
That Cartagena boat ride.
Yes.
I mean, at one point, the production had to be like, we're shutting down because this could be it.
Actually, that Cartagena boat ride with the production shutting down, it looked like every tender ride to a beach party where like the camera goes like, on for dear life.
Like, it was so funny.
I was
so
like,
many
oh,
times.
It's normal life. Yeah.
What can you tell us about the rest of the season?
You know, I feel like we were kind of a slow burn. Like, we picked up momentum, but now the episodes...
It's like a snowball effect.
Yeah, and now every episode is like boom,
boom,
boom.
And, like, it's getting bigger, and now it's just like every episode, it's just going to be
another
like,
exciting
another,
thing.
Another
yeah.
exciting thing.
Yeah. And my last question is, I'm so curious how other yachties look at you guys when you're doing your other yacht jobs. So when you go on another boat, mm-hmm. when you're not filming... I mean, you're new to this, I guess, but particularly with you, do you get hazed at all? People know you're on this Bravo show.
No, I don't get hazed. No, we're professionals. Like, and there's not a lot of hazing
not
in yachting.
Like, oh, Hollywood,
ever.
You know.
No, I think maybe at first they had that impression, but yachting's a small industry.
Mm.
Usually, like, we know somebody who knows somebody, like, oh, you worked with my friend so-and-so on this boat. And I feel like, if you're on the show and you do a good job, it's just like a living resume. So
yeah.
I think I've worked hard enough over the years that they really can't complain too much.
No, it's very true. I think, well, like you said, everyone, like, it's still our job when we're on the show. So it's like we're working. And then if you just go to another job.
It's like a resume.
It's like the same thing.
I don't
it's
do
just like
just watch season 2. Yeah. You can see how good I am at setting a table.
Well, thank you guys so much. This is great.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So then we had Stassi come into town, and I saw that she brought Beau with her. And you know, I think Beau's pretty handsome. So I said, Beau, you want to jump on a mic? And he did. Here's that interview. Guys, I have a special treat. Not only am I here with Stassi, but we've wrangled Beau into joining as well.
Yes.
Hello, hello.
Baby's first interview.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh my God.
That's embarrassing.
So this week, the fans get to meet your Beau, Beau. And how many times have you watched the episode that you're in?
We just watched it once.
Yeah, once.
Like on my little computer.
He wasn't like, pause. Looked at himself. Okay, cool.
Maybe behind my back. You know what? I'm going to have to, like, the next time that you're at home alone, I'm going to, like, check in with, like, our Furbo thing and spy on you. And because I wouldn't doubt it.
Right. Was it weird to watch yourself on the episode?
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did
yeah.
you feel about it?
Huh? Well, I don't know. I was just, I mean, I remember doing it, being there.
And
it was cool. My voice is cracked. Cool. Oh my God.
Were you nervous for people to meet him after everything that happened with Patrick and the backlash?
Honestly, no. I was really excited because I knew that no matter what, like, it was, he's such an awesome, friendly person and everyone loves him that I'm like, this is going to be fun because I couldn't foresee, like, anything possibly going wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And have you watched the episodes with Patrick? I mean, you must have seen in this episode they show some flashbacks of the butt moment.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh no, people have showed me that, but I haven't really watched the show.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, you know, that's her old life. I don't need to, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird because she's got a different dynamic.
I wouldn't
dynamic
freaking
than a normal,
watch anything with his ex-girlfriend. That so I know.
But then again, Jax is around a lot, so
yeah. But he's really close with Jax, so like it's weird to even be like asked about him because it was so long ago,
right? It doesn't register, right? And plus, you're so close with Brittany, I feel like.
Yeah, but meaning things. Like once you like, I've always been this way. Like once a relationship is over, it's over, and that's not. There's no weirdness,
right?
Really, you know what I mean?
That's nice. I wish nothing but bad things for my exes. So that's very nice, giving of you. So Kristen and Katie introduced you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I have to ask: given this group, does that mean you ever dated either of them?
No.
This
is my anxiety happening. Go ahead.
When he first moved to LA, he was in like a small film with Kristen and they had to make out. And they didn't even realize that it was them until like a couple years
11
ago.
11 years later or something like that.
When they were already like hanging out with like Carter and all that stuff. And Beau, like, didn't you come across?
I randomly came across this thing. I never saw it. And then it opens up with me making out with this girl. I was like, God, oh my God, is that Kristen?
That
and
is
I fast
so...
forward, I'm like, holy crap, it's Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's amazing.
Can you believe that?
And that means it's meant to be.
That's what I said. I was like, you know what? Maybe that's what went wrong in all my last relationships. Like, they hadn't have had, like, something to do with my friends yet.
Right.
Ancestral friends group.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kristen, we have Detective Kristen back.
Oh my God, we like totally do.
Yes. What is happening with this James stuff?
God, I'm so sick of James. I really am. He's like such a piece of shit and he bores me. So like having to talk about him just drives me fucking crazy. I think he's just like such a bad person that everyone's like wants to just like take him down in some way. Like he like really does suck. It's not like a funny like, oh, you know, you're kind of bitchy or mean and it's, you know, surface level. He's like really truly awful.
Right.
And Kristen is just like on this whole plan. Like she's a freaking, like it's like a comic book movie and she's the villain. Like 100%. She just wants to take James down.
I mean, she literally hops a fence.
She hops a fence. I wonder if like, was that real? Did they make her hop a fence? Like that is just too good.
Know.
It's too good. Like you hopped a freaking fence.
I believe it. I believe it. when you were telling Katie and Kristen, well, actually trying not to tell them about the proposal, I meant to ask this, but were they tipsy or just really aloof that you were?
They were so into, like, Kristen was so into her own shit, like trying to figure it out, and her own personal detective skills, that she wasn't even paying attention to me.
That was amazing.
It was so real. That was one of the realest scenes I've ever filmed, because that was like, the anxiety was next level.
Right. What can you tell us about this season?
I think this season is different from any other season because we've all kind of gotten over all of our issues with each other and kind of like formed into this like chosen family. And so like the issues that we have with each other are just different. I don't know if like a little more mature is the right word, but it's not like this one thread of like, did Jax cheat on Brittany and we're right. all just kind of sitting by watching. It's like we all kind of, we've taken our friendships and relationships to the next level and it just feels different.
Mm. How much did you film, Bo? I want to know how much we're going to see you this season.
I don't know. I mean, I was around a lot.
You filmed just as much as I did.
Really?
Legitimately, he filmed all, like he was everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I was there a lot. Well, yeah. I was around.
Yeah, he realized he liked it.
Well, I liked being around with you, and it was I don't know, it was easy. It was fun because I knew everyone before filming, so that's why it was also easy for me to kind of do this.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing for you to film?
Because I whatever you want.
I've seen some sneak peeks, so I have a guess.
Probably knowing crying.
Oh yeah, he cried on camera.
Oh. Oh no.
Yeah.
I can be a
what
terrorist.
What did you do, Stassi?
I can be a terrorist. I just can't help myself when I get super hammered. I just can't help it.
Yeah. That's those moments were probably the worst.
I feel bad. I can be a bully when it gets to like late at night.
So what happens? I mean, tell me.
Everyone's starting to call it the dark passenger. Mm. That like once like the clock strikes midnight, it's like something comes over me and I'm
Satan.
Like, I'm like, I want to go to bed. I'm done. I'm demanding him go to bed with me. And he's like a social butterfly. So like he loves to be out and like be in around my friends. And like I just it's like I'm Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or some. That's scary. That sounds scary.
It is. It is.
How do you tame the dark passenger?
You just stick with it. It's like a hurricane.
Right.
You know, it's once the hurricane is passed through, the next day, you know, it's all sunny and nice. There's a little debris everywhere. But, you know, you just sweep it up a little bit later.
That's so
is that
true.
A good analogy?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Because I always wake up the next morning apologetic.
Yeah.
And aware that I was a dick. But there is debris.
Well, what is Beau's downside?
I'm introverted. It takes a lot out of me to just like be out and be around people, and like I need to be like home alone or like with him. Do you know what I mean? A lot just to recharge my batteries. And he's the opposite. So I don't know if that's like, it's not bad. It's just different from what I am. So like I don't understand when he can socialize and talk to people until like 4 a.m, wake up and start it over at 10 a.m. I don't understand it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also I'm not getting my picture taken and you know all the time, so I understand where she comes from. I'm sure if I was in her position for 7 years, I might not be as outgoing and going out as much as I do now. You know. So I understand. You know our dynamics.
Yeah.
Together. So she'll come out with me on certain times, and then I'll stay at home with her at certain times. So we're starting to you know, learn more about that.
We're compromising. We're figuring out which days am I going to go out. Like, okay, I'll go out, and which days is he going to stay in?
Yep.
So with this group and filming the show, you're kind of forced around to be around everyone. Who is maybe the one person that annoys you?
I know.
Who?
James. Who else?
Oh, it's. I mean, I don't talk to him that much. But the other times that I have talked to him, it's just. It's. I guess it's annoying.
Yeah, he's a weasel.
But I don't. Again, I'm not around him that much to have an opinion.
All right. Do you think he cheated?
Yes, I think he does all the time. I mean, literally, there's like footage on TMZ of him making out with girls. I don't understand.
What about Sheena this season? I feel like there's still a question mark with Sheena in you.
Sheena is like, this is the way I can describe Sheena is like, she is the ultimate like frenemy with me. We're the ultimate frenemies, where it's like, she's necessary. Everyone needs a frenemy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's, you know, I like parts of her and I find like a lot of, you know, what she's like to be endearing, but she still annoys the shit out of me. So there's that. And I annoy her. We both, like, we're on like the same level where we both understand, like, we're never going to be close friends, but I enjoy her company.
Is there now a new layer to this because you've kind of taken Ariana as a friend?
This whole thing of like, I know people ask me that. No, there really isn't. Sheena hasn't like expressed being upset that I'm close with Ariana. I mean, I don't think that's a thing. Or that's not a thing that she's shown me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you and Ariana still close?
I love Ariana. Okay. Yes. No, I've always really liked Ariana. I never understood why she didn't like me. It was about time that she finally saw the light.
Is she part of the text group?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the Witches of WeHo
wine. Right? So me, Katie, and Kristen decided like, we wanted to do something together and something having to do with Witches of WeHo. And wine is so fitting and so on brand for us alcoholics. So we were just like, that seems like the natural thing to do. So we were like, okay, what would we want it to be? How would we want it to look? And we thought of this idea of doing different potions. So the first one that we're coming out with is Pinot Grigio, and it's potion number one. And if it does well, then we'll do like a rosé, and that'll be potion number two, and then so forth. So I'm really excited about it.
That's so cool. Mm. Have you done any actual real spells on Bo?
Why do you think he's in love with me?
I love you so much.
Thank you both for doing this.
Yeah,
we appreciate it. Thank you, Bo.
Yeah. Of course.
A lot's happening in the world, and I'm not just talking about on Bravo. If you want to keep up with the latest headlines in news, media, and tech, you need to listen to Recode Decode. Kara Swisher hosts Recode Decode. It's a podcast that's home to candid interviews with tech and media's key players about their big ideas and how they're changing the world. Previous episodes include newsmaking conversations with business leaders like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, influential politicians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and outspoken media personalities like Anthony Scaramucci, Christiane Amanpour, and the boys from Crooked Media's Pod Save America. Recode Decode with Kara Swisher offers in-depth conversations that are as entertaining as they are enlightening, and Kara's planning more big shows right now. New episodes are published every week on Mondays and Wednesdays, with frequent bonus episodes on Saturdays. Listen and subscribe to Recode Decode with Kara Swisher for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening.
All right, so let's talk Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose this week?
I had a few. Should I go through all of them?
Absolutely.
I'll speed through them. Okay. I wanted to say one of my roses was from the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion part two, because this is the first time maybe ever that we've had a housewife really cop to having a problem with the serious drug. And that was Deandra saying that she used to have a cocaine problem, went to rehab, and has, you know, not touched it since.
What issues did you
have? I'm very upfront with the fact that I had a drug problem in my 20s. Luckily, at 29, I went to rehab and I never did it again.
What was the problem?
Cocaine.
But I just thought kudos to her for being so open and honest, because, you know, cocaine is a word that's been thrown around on a lot of our shows. You know, Real Housewives of Orange County most recently used as sort of an accusation or a dig. I think this is, we were dealing with something on a very, I don't know, we were dealing with it on a different level. It wasn't an accusation thrown at someone. This was like a serious life event that happened to someone and has really changed how she's lived.
Right. And, you know, going off of that too, credit to Leanne, because of as low as she went with Deandra so many times this season, that never once came up. She never used that against her.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what really struck me too. I was like, wow, because that's a card you would want to throw out, I have to say, like during a fight with someone.
Absolutely.
And she didn't.
She didn't. I mean, I feel like given their friendship and knowing that it's lasted a whole decade, like the things that you know about someone when you know them for that long, as angry as they might make you and as low as you might go with certain things, I feel like you just, you know when something is off limits, and Leanne just knew that that was one that would probably hurt her too much publicly like that.
Yeah. And then I had two roses from this episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta because it was so good. Yvonne, who we were introduced to at this couple's dinner party, what a treat sent from the heavens.
A little firecracker she
was. I mean, she's just out of the gate so feisty.
So my question is, when we first sat down, you said, very nice to meet you, as if it was the very first time that you met me.
I don't recall meeting you before.
That's impossible.
How is it impossible?
I mean, I was that bitch. I was Yvonne from Clark. C-A-U.
And towards Eva.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love Yvonne. I hope we get to see a little more of her.
I have a feeling that that's not the last of her.
And then at the end, when Portia was telling Dennis that she was pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
Oh. Yo. For real.
For real.
I really was not sure how he was going to react. You had commented how he was opening the shoes and was just sort of like in a silence.
Yeah.
And then he started crying. It was so sweet. I loved that.
It was a really beautiful moment because, you know, the day was set up so nicely, being his birthday, and like all of that breakfast was prepared, and like she was so excited to like share this with him. I did really love that moment because, you know, and the listeners know, like Dennis has been a little bit, it's been hard for us to really accept him at this point. And I think especially in this episode, we get to see a little bit more of his personality, a little bit more of his sort of like sensitivity mm-hmm. as well. And I think that's important because at first I think we were getting a lot of like, I'm a baller, I'm going to buy you a lot of nice things. And we weren't really seeing a lot of his personality. And I think in that moment you start to see, okay, this is a man who is genuinely happy to become a father.
Yes. Mm. Loved it. What was your rose?
My rose was also from Atlanta, and it's kind of two part. The first part of it is Tanya's panic room that's hidden behind that mirror in her bedroom.
Right, right.
I mean, Nene threw a little bit of shade being like, it's not that big, but it's also like, it's behind a secret door. Like, who cares how big it is? Like, that's awesome. I mean, I don't know if it is a real panic room or if it is just like her little like lady den or something that she called
it. Yeah, did they call it a panic room?
I don't think they called it quite a panic room, but she did refer to it.
It was just her closet.
She did refer to it as like her lady cave or something like that. But I mean, essentially, that's a panic room. If you don't know how to get in or out or into it, like that's where you hide if there are burglars in your house, you
yeah.
know? Well, so that is the first part of my rose. And the second part is her fiance, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
He is a fine, tall drink of water.
Very good-looking man.
Very handsome. I mean, and Tanya's, you know, this is only probably the second time we've really been introduced to her, and I really liked her when she was at the Pass the Peach party. She seemed like really good energy. She's into fashion. You know, I wanted to see more of her, so I was excited to see her show up again. And then when she showed up to the couples party with that man on her arm, I was like, okay. I was like, yes, I want some more of Paul. So that was my rose, a lot of Tanya this week.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was Brandy at the reunion using the word stole.
So Leanne, if I stole so your phone, thing. Why would I f-ing deliver it to you?
When she was referring to the phone.
I took a few notes during this reunion for that reason. Okay, so we had Brandy saying, if I stole your phone.
Yep.
During this episode and the finale episode, they said inferred when they meant implied.
Yes.
Oh, well, you inferred that she had a drinking problem. Like,
right.
No. That's like after someone's implied it, you might have inferred it. So yes. That was bothering me. And then Deandra said, so if I was you, I'd clap it.
You have no right to talk about Dallas society because you're not a part of Dallas society. So if I was you, I'd clap it.
What does that mean, Deandra?
What are we clapping?
Do you mean you'd clip it? Do you mean you'd zip it?
Clap. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she meant clip it. Or was she trying to say, I'd clap back?
No.
I don't think Deandra uses that kind of term.
No.
I'd clap it.
So yeah, that was a big thorn.
Isn't clap like a STD? Like a venereal disease? Nice try, Deandra.
I don't think that's what she meant. My thorn was the way Jax decided to end that engagement party where everyone's still there having a good time. He's like, Brittany and I are going to go have sex. Bye. No, that's not how you end it.
I thought it was funny, too, because a lot of LA apartments are not two stories. So I was like, are they just going to go in the room next door to the living room and just be like, bye, everyone? But they do have an upstairs. So at least there's another floor that they can go to.
Right.
But it's true. Would you ever end a party like that, like at your place? You'd be like, bye.
No.
No.
I mean, if you wouldn't end the podcast like that, that's fine.
Here we go. Good luck. See yourselves out, everybody.
No, but we want to know what your rose and thorn of the week are. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
And you can find me at Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join our Bravo Daily Dish Facebook group. We want to hear from you.
Plus, don't forget, tonight is the second episode of Top Chef, plus Last Chance Kitchen, which follows right after.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.